If you weren't here on Friday night, wow, that was amazing. Just to get to share food and fellowship and sing. It was just an amazing time. So I want to say thank you. We'll say that again later, but I want to say thank you to everyone who made Friday night possible. It was wonderful. An amazing time of fellowship. So we are in the second Sunday of Advent. I titled the message today, instead of Jesus is peace, like last week I did Jesus is hope, I decided to say Jesus is our peace. And we'll march through the idea of peace. So what is your idea of peace? What do you think? Do you long for peace in your family, in your personal life, in our world, maybe even in yourself? Is peace something internal or external or both? Is peace something you can create or control? Is peace a perspective or a choice? One of the primary gifts of Christmas is peace. Peace of mind and heart. Jesus gifts us with peace despite our circumstances. Now, Jesus often said to those he had healed or those he had an exchange with, go in peace. By sending Jesus, his son, to be our mediator, we are gifted peace with God. In turn, we trust in the Holy Spirit's presence and work in our hearts so that we have peace with ourselves. Finally, as a result of the Trinitarian fellowship in us, we have peace with others. So today, let's explore these three aspects of peace and the different characteristics of how peace is played out in our life. We will explore peace with God, peace with oneself, and peace with others. And all that means for us as followers of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. So let's pray. Jesus, we come to you as our Prince of Peace, as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as Emmanuel, the one with us, God with us. Thank you for the peace that you bring to our hearts and our minds, to our lives, to our society, to our circumstances. As we look at the gift of peace today, open our hearts and minds as we open your word and look at all of the amazing aspects of peace and work through us. Thank you for the peace that you give. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the first point today is peace with God. And I actually did the first one, war with God. And I had to put that as a question mark. So it's war with God, or at least outside of God's plan. Okay? Why would anyone choose to be at war with God? I mean, honestly, if you think about it biblically, there were a handful of times when a nation was kind of at war with God. Egypt, and a lot of stuff happened that was really bad, right? You can think of Assyria or Babylon also as possibly at war with God. The thing is I think for us, the idea of being at war with God, when it comes down to not the national level but to the personal level, it may be that we're angry with God, or that we think that our hurt or the struggles or challenges that we've faced in life, maybe our trauma that has been done to us, is ultimately God's fault, and we're angry with him. I believe God's big enough to take it. Because God loves us so much that he's willing to hear anything that we have to say, even if it means maybe yelling at him or telling him, God, I'm angry. Because even that is a prayer. It's asking God for help. But I want to warn us, and we're going to talk a whole lot about this in the future, but anything that comes between God and us is an idol. Okay? Anything that comes between you and God, something that blocks, something that maybe is more of a priority, it's actually an idol. Okay? Again, we'll discuss that a lot more later. But I want to plant that idea in your mind, because if you continue to be angry with God, it's really on the level of idolatry. It's placing something as more important than the relationship. So think about it. Two parties or two countries at war with one another, or maybe on the brink of war, right? There's saber rattling and their nuclear armament, whatever's happening. An attempt to deflate that, they send delegates to discuss the terms of peace. So think about it. If the world is at war with God, if people are at war with God, and it's pretty simple to say that those are true, God sent the ultimate olive branch, right? What's that mean? To send an olive branch is peace. Right? And what was the ultimate olive branch? Jesus invited us to the negotiating table. The terms, complete surrender. Complete surrender to his provision of payment for our rebellion. So do you get that? God sent the olive leaf. We came to the table. God sent Jesus to be the payment. And God demands complete surrender. But it's complete to surrender what? To what he's done to bring peace. Right? It's not necessarily what we do. I mean, honestly, when we come to the table, we really have nothing to offer. It's ultimately and completely upon God. He brings us peace and gives us peace. And what do we surrender? Our control, our way, our pride. There is that idolatry again. Our selfishness. But in turn, when we surrender those things, we receive the gift of being made right with God, which is justification. That's just a simple definition of justification. Made right with God and reconciliation. So instead of just war with God, let's talk about peace with God. Now last week, we read Romans 5, several verses. And I just read it again this week and thought, it's perfect. Romans 5, 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And peace in this setting means the believer's harmony with God rather than a subjective state within his or her consciousness, right? A better way to say it, the object here means that Paul is asserting the kind of peace he's referring to is peace with God. So it's a relationship. And I did it. The Greek word for justification here is dikaiou. Guys, is that right? Okay, I got Dwayne. David, is that right? It's close. And I shouldn't even pronounce the Greek, but just listen to the definition. To justify, vindicate, declare righteous, to put someone in a proper relationship with another, usually referring to God's relationship to humankind, implying a proper legal or moral relationship. Justified, justify, considered righteous, justifies, proved right, declared righteous, set free, acknowledged the right, acquitted, alienation, justification obtained, justified before God, make innocent, vindicate. All of those beautiful words that describe made right with God through peace. So I wanted you to see this because I think Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it really well. And this is the New Century Version. So I tell you that and I put it up here so you would have the same words that I'm reading. And yes, the parentheses, the underlines were mine. And if there are parentheses, I think in the next one, you'll see that. If anyone belongs to Christ, there is new creation. Okay, you become a new creation. The old things have gone. Everything is made new. All this is from God. Through Christ, God made peace, reconciliation, between us and himself. And, I love this because here's the Great Commission, God gave us the work of telling everyone about the peace we can have with him. God was in Christ making peace between the world and himself. In Christ, God did not hold the world guilty of its sins, and he gave us this message of peace. So we have been sent to speak for Christ. That's just not Paul the Apostles. It's you and me. It is as if God is calling to you through us. We speak for Christ when we beg you to be at peace with God. Christ has had no sin, but God made him become sin, so that in Christ we would become right with God. Amen. So the second one is peace with self. And last week we talked a little bit about this, and I hope you see some weave in as we're working on becoming a healthy disciple. That's our goal in a healthy church. And we're building lists, and we've got another good list here today. But we're talking about holistic, okay? So peace first is peace in your head. And John 14, 27, Jesus told his followers, and this was toward the end. This was the chapter in which he told them, hey, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. They'll beat me, but I'm going to rise again. And they didn't get it, so they were sad and discouraged. And to that he said, in verse 27 of chapter 14, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. So the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So I looked up peace as a definition. And we had a whole lot of words earlier, but here's a whole lot more. Peace is harmony, agreement, friendship, unity, reconciliation again, and love. Peace can also mean calmness, serenity, composure, contentment, quiet, rest, and silence. And I want to tell you at this point, I'm going to call in January for a season of prayer and fasting for Emmanuel. So that's just your heads up that it's coming. I'll send out more information about it. But as I think of contentment, quiet, rest, and silence, the ideas of Sabbath and of listening to God, of meditation on his word, and sitting still in peace and listening to God. Now, the antithesis, what we're working against, if you will, what we don't want is peace is not hate, discord, disagreement, fighting, frustration, upset, war, like we talked about earlier, and worry. And so the biblical concept of shalom means to complete or to make whole. Okay, shalom just doesn't mean the idea of peace, and I'm not a Hawaiian or anything, but you know, aloha kind of means hello, goodbye, and peace all in one package, right? So I don't know how they compare, but shalom is to be made complete or to be healthy or whole. And remember, we're working on being a healthy disciple in a healthy church, okay? Holistic. And it means to restore. And I don't know if any of you have watched The Chosen. There's one beautiful scene, and I think it's when one of the disciples is talking to one of the Romans, and, you know, they spoke different languages, right? Even though Greek was the common, but he was practicing, the Roman was practicing shalom, and to the pronunciation, and the disciple said shalom, shalom, and the Roman said, why do you say it twice? And he said, it means perfect peace. And that was just a beautiful, I didn't know that until the show. And the Bible says, I will keep you in perfect peace, shalom, shalom, when your mind is stayed on me, when you focus, when you think, when your mind is set on me. Paul says, you have the mind of Christ. So we think on that and we consider that. And then the second aspect, not just your head, but your heart, we have peace in our hearts. In John 16:33, a few chapters later, Jesus told his followers, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Right? Our peace is in Christ. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. I don't know that that's as much a promise as it is just a reality fact. Right? We are going to have lots of trials and sorrows, but Jesus said, but take heart because I have overcome the world. When he rose from the grave, he conquered death. When he died on the cross, he conquered sin. So you and I are victorious as we are in Jesus. So I wanted you to see this. This is from the New Living Translation. It's James 3, and I'm going to read to you 13, so you have the bad news, because sometimes you always have to have the bad news with the good news, right? So just listen to 13, and then we'll get to 17 in a moment. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. I could put peace in there. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Remember, we were talking about idols. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find dishonor, disorder, and evil of every kind. Verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. So as we're working at being a healthy disciple in a healthy church, if you want a biblical list, this is a good one. As we're building this idea, this concept, this document, just look through it. Purity, right? You and I want to be people of peace who are practicing purity, living right in our lives. We want to be peace-loving. That's the whole point of this message. Gentle at all times. Oh, God, help me to be gentle at all times. In a tough and rough and difficult world, sometimes I find it hard to be gentle. And willing to yield to others, right? We're talking about the definition of love being intending good on the other person, always thinking of them first. Right? The concept of humility is building others up, right? Yielding to others, full of mercy. Wow. Don't we want to be people who are full of mercy? And then fruit of good deeds, I think of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. And I don't know that they're in order of importance. Love's probably, yes, we can say that. Love's the most important. Love, joy. Joy's very important. Peace, number three on the list. Okay? And as I was walking to church this morning, I want you to understand, you and I cannot, we have not the ability to create these things in and of ourselves. Right? It's not that we try harder to be these things. Right? We come to the Jesus, the olive branch, we come to the table. What do we have to offer? You know, our pride, our selfishness, our woundedness, our sin nature. So we put all that on the table, and what do we receive? These beautiful attributes are characteristics that are actually the attributes and characteristics of Jesus. And when we surrender, when we give up ourselves, he works this through us, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory, the glory of Christmas. If you want peace in your life, you allow, you surrender and submit Jesus to be peace through you. Okay, and it can be any one of these. No favoritism, always sincere. And I love this. This is beautiful because I was reading this week, and I think it was Rick Warren who said, you know, you plant a kernel of corn, and what happens? Well, first of all, you have to wait, right? Because the Lord of the harvest does the harvest, and we can't cause it. But it grows up, and what's the result? Is it one kernel of corn? No, it's several heads of corn with a whole bunch of kernels on each head. So it produces and it grows. But this is telling us those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. So when you and I plant peace in our hearts, in our lives, when we participate with Jesus to do that, and we are these things that the Bible clearly lists for us to allow God to work through, then our harvest is righteousness, right? Right living, rightness, being right with God, which is the very definition of peace. Okay? So the third one is peace with others. And this is very important because peace is love. The key to peace with others is really the question of love, okay? And remember how we're defining love. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the great command, and love your neighbor as yourself. The way we can know how much we love God is to look at how much we love other people. Love, understood correctly and practiced, puts peace on a practical level. To truly have peace with others, you must love them as much as God loves them. And God loves everyone. We are all 7 billion people created in the image and likeness of God, and he loves everyone. He wants everyone to be at peace with him. And of course, on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:9, Jesus said, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. In the light of the gospel, Jesus himself is the supreme peacemaker, making peace between God and us, and then among human beings. So another way that I would say it is peace is a gift we give and receive, or I would say better, we receive it first, because if you don't receive the gift of peace, then you're really unable to get it, give it, right? That's something that we cannot create on our own. We, all of it. I mean, I can't love on my own. I don't have joy on my own. So I can't create peace. I have to receive his peace and not keep it, right, as something to myself. Because that's selfish, sinful behavior, right? I need to pass it on. I need to give it. I need to speak shalom over you and give you peace. This is a peace far beyond the absence of conflict. This is the kind of peace that actually puts others first. More than just tolerance, but relationship that values another as much as the Father values them. A peace that passes all understanding. Hebrews 12:14 says, "Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord." So our goal, our desire, is to understand and receive the glory of God, the holiness of God, to be in His presence, receiving from Him what we cannot create ourselves. And so it says work at, and that's okay, because sometimes it's a little bit of work, right? Sometimes it's a struggle, sometimes it's hard. But it's more like work with Jesus, if I could rephrase that. Work with Jesus at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. So the scripture that was read for us will be my final prayer. It's just Hebrews 13, 20 and 21, and I'll read that for you in a minute. But as a conclusion, just in case you were hoping, I did do the acronym. It doesn't have anything in the sermon, but I wanted to do it for you. P is practicing empathy, amnesty, care, and engagement. So that's peace. I'm going to pray this over you. Let's stand as I pray Hebrews 13, 20, and 21. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with His blood, may He equip you with all you need for doing His will. May He produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that is pleasing to Him. All glory to Him forever and ever. Amen."